You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to NSPS Radio Hour for another episode today. We have Lisa Isom with us again. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you.
I think most, if not all, of our listeners will recognize Lisa's name. Lisa is with Assurance Risk Managers, and that is the company that provides the NSPS insurance program. So we've been trying over the last while, I can't remember how long we've been doing this regularly, Lisa, but probably over a year, on some regular basis trying to provide information, sometimes up-to-date information, always follow-up information from previous shows, but get more in-depth in terms of insurance issues that affect professionals and those who work for professionals. And that's what the insurance NSPS insurance program is all about, really, is to provide that advice and the coverages as well. So thanks for being with me again today, Lisa.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's always a pleasure. And, you know, as always, we, you know, try to go back and pick up where we start, where we left off on the last show. And if memory serves me right, I think we were chatting about umbrellas and personal insurance, which is you know, naturally one of those necessary evils, I guess. Nobody really likes to pay the money for insurance, but they certainly appreciate it if they need it down the road somewhere. So understanding the coverage that you're getting and or should have is always helpful, I suppose. And, you know, from the NSPS's insurance program, you know, we not only insure the business side of the member, but we can also insure the personal side. So that would be the personal home, auto, boat, RV, boat, ATVs, etc. So as we have done, there have been questions that came up from the personal umbrella side from our last show. And so I'd like to go back and answer some of those questions, and hopefully that would supply some input and information to others that may have the same question. With respect to the personal umbrella, again, a personal umbrella extends the coverage that's beneath it. So whether that would be your homeowner's policy, your automobile policy, in some situations you may have other items that would set up under a personal umbrella. And that was one of the questions was, if a person sets on a board, as an example, in the business that we're in, there are a lot of opportunities and a lot of input that you may have, and you know, to set on a nonprofit board of directors, and you know, whether that could be a theater to you know, a business nonprofit organization, or maybe a profession nonprofit organization. But in the event that you do, naturally, that coverage is one that we have not addressed yet, which is directors and officers insurance policy, so oftentimes referred to as D&O. Hopefully, in whatever position you're setting in, that particular nonprofit board has their own policy in place, and that would be covered under D&O. Now, in the event that that person has a coverage in place, that's typically $1 million of coverage, and what that would do is cover any liability or suit that would apply to any one of the board of directors. In the event that you're setting on there and that insurance policy has either been exhausted or it's that $1 million is spread amongst all of the board of directors, okay? In the event that you find yourself setting on one board or numerous boards, you certainly want to make sure that your own personal umbrella would cover your exposure should there not be a D&O policy for a board that you're setting on or the D&O policy has been exhausted. You know, when you get into play in today's Sue Happy world, you really get into a situation to where you may not have anything to do with a particular case, you know, a wrongdoing, et cetera, but the defense cost is a huge amount of limit that is exhausted. And so if you have five or six people on a board, naturally $1 million or the likelihood of using $1 million is a suit that, you know, can happen depending on the situation. If it's somebody, if someone's used their private information, you know, misrepresented, you know, the association or the members thereof and the entire membership comes back and sues, nine times out of ten, the nonprofit organization's going to have to pay for the expense for both parties. So your part with respect to defending the cost for nonprofit, as well as the person filing claim, and so it can be exhausted pretty quickly. Now, if in the event that you have a large board of directors, naturally, if a suit's being brought, it's usually spread amongst all of the board to be able to defend them accordingly as well. So that's where, you know, a personal umbrella, you do want to make sure that it does pick up that type of exposure, as well as naturally your own personal use, you know, your home. Should someone get hurt on your property or a child injured, the personal auto, naturally, when the teenager has a possible wreck or anyone has a wreck. In today's world, you can extend into an umbrella very, very easily. One thing that I would say, and as an example, today I've got, we all talk, you know, here about social media or you know, Twitters or texting or computer, Facebook, et cetera. Here is a claim that is a real-life situation that occurred under an umbrella policy, and it is for discharging a comment that was put on social media, Facebook, by a 14-year-old that ended up at an $11.3 million verdict, and that was in the state of Indiana. So when you hear about these types of situations, often what you don't take into consideration, it's right there in your backyard. It's not necessarily in one particular state over another. It may develop in a difference of expenses. So as an example, you know, you may get sued. In some states, you're going to pay for the defense on both cases if you're found guilty. In some states, you're only paying your defense. So the verdicts can be different depending on the state in which the suit is being brought. But I don't know about you, but I have a 14-year-old myself, and it scares me to death daily monitoring what he's saying and what he's doing with respect to every channel I can put on his cell phone and or computers. But at the end of the day, it does happen. And so that's where you want to make sure if you have a $300,000 liability policy, $500,000 liability policy, it's just going to be exhausted. It will be exhausted, and that's where your personal umbrella will come into play and save you that possible bankrupt some people or picking up the cost yourself if you can afford it. So a personal umbrella is really the way to go, and it is the most cost-effective of any of the coverage that you would have. So that is one thing that's available naturally through NSPS as well. But this personal umbrella will cover, again, one of the things that we addressed over at the last show. It will not only extend above your own liability, but it will extend upon over and above your uninsured or underinsured liability as well. So
that brings up a couple of questions, and I know we're almost at the first break, so we'll maybe we come back to these when we get back. But this is a pretty important issue. I know a lot of our listeners do sit on boards, and so you know it raises questions about where one leaves off, where the other picks up. How diligent must we be in terms of making sure that whatever coverage we have as an entity for our board members is sufficient? As you know, our board has grown exponentially just because of our joint membership program. And so you've got a lot more people there involved. And so it'd be interesting to talk about that a little bit in terms of, okay, what if something happened? And then I think I heard you say that everybody on the board kind of gets wrapped into that, so there could be judgments all across. And I guess is there, and again, I know we can't talk about this till the break, but I'm just kind of throwing things out there. Is there some break point somewhere where if I'm a board member and my board has insurance and an issue comes up, and then for whatever reason that insurance doesn't cover whatever the judgment was, does something that I have personally through my my personal insurance or through my company or whatever cover any of that since it occurred as a board member? So we got 10 seconds, so I know we'll just talk about this when we come back, but it just raises a lot of questions I think the audience will be interested in hearing the answers to.
Absolutely.
So let's do the break, and we'll be right back.
All right. Attention surveyors. Are you aware that that yellow stick you're using is saving lives all over the world? Yes, that pinfinder is clearing fields and villages of unexploded cluster bombs and other hidden explosives in over 25 countries. Johnstead, in cooperation with international mine action programs, provides free locators to where they are most urgently needed. To find out how you can help, visit the NSPS website at nsps.us.com. And thank you.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about Quick Stakes, go to www.quickstake.com, or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with Lisa Isom talking about insurance, and got off on a really good topic in the first segment today that probably raises as many questions as there are to ask, and I know there's no way to cover all of those questions that come up. Maybe this will be one of the ones, Lisa, where we get a whole list of questions from people, but I think it does bear some more discussion because like I said, a lot of people listening to the show do sit on boards, and that's something that to be concerned about. And then, like I said, is there a component of this from the board coverage to your personal coverage or company coverage, if you have umbrellas, that sort of dovetail together, or are they totally separate, or whatever? So maybe you can just chat about some of that stuff.
Yeah, broach on that. You know, first off, as you just said, there are so many people that sit on boards, and you know, first off, it is, you know, certainly an accomplishment and something that you're proud of to be able to sit on a board, and whether it's from a professional perspective to, you know, a community perspective, there's just tons of boards out there today. So from a SafeKeep perspective, the first thing you want to do is, if you sit on a board, no matter what the board is, you go back and you ask that affiliation what their limit is, or if they even have a directors and officers policy, because a directors and officers policy is to represent anyone sitting on the directors and officers board and represent them in the event that they're being brought into a suit for whatever reason. It could be everything from an advertisement piece to, you know, a financial situation, maybe inappropriate use of funds. I mean, you could go on, and I can certainly provide an example of some things to be aware of from a DNO perspective. How could I be brought into a suit? Because I would tell you that most people don't even think that when they've accepted a position and they've taken that oath, you know, under whatever organization, that they've just stepped into a liable situation, or could be brought into a liable situation. So in that particular example, ask that board or the association that you're setting with what their DNO policy is, and how will it respond to you as a board, as a member of the board of directors. 99.9% of the time, it will indicate that they will represent the association or the nonprofit association and their existing board. Okay, it will defend you. And then there's a deductible. You know, the deductible is, in this situation, if all of the board is listed in a suit, then that's going to be one deductible. Okay, but that, you know, the first thing to do is ask if they have one and how will it apply. If they do not have one, then naturally you want one. And that, you know, that's the first step. To answer your question, because you're sitting on there personally, the individual is sitting on there personally, it would not come back to your business policy at no shape, form, or fashion. It will not come back to a business policy that you may have in place. What it will do is, if you have a personal umbrella for you individually, that will also cover uninsured or underinsured liability. So that must be indicated on your umbrella, uninsured or underinsured liability. Then most of the personal umbrella, which you'll need to confirm this with your own personal umbrella, will respond over and above the DNO policy that exists. So if in the event that policy is exhausted, it would provide you personally insurance for you personally, not the other board, but just you personally. But you must have uninsured or underinsured liability, because in the event that the DNO policy is exhausted, that now shows uninsured or underinsured liability. And then
in that case, that coverage that one would have, that personal sort of, that would pick up what's left over, so to speak.
That's exactly
that,
right.
That couldn't be through your company. That would be personal, right?
That is correct. It has to be through your personal coverage, because your company would not pick it up, because it's not a business exposure. You're sitting on boards as a person and an individual, so therefore it comes back to your personal liability. And so, one key point that I would tell you, anyone that sits on a board should contact your personal insurance broker and ask regarding your personal umbrella, would this cover my exposure for the boards that I sit on? And that agent should be able to tell you, that agent or broker should be able to tell you, yes, it will, or no, it will not. But that would be the only safe keep. It's not going to cost you additional monies for a personal umbrella. It's just simply making sure that the umbrella that you have is the correct umbrella that you need. Because, for as many people that sits on boards versus people that never would sit on a board, the umbrella is not the same. So, one umbrella may only sit over your own existing home and auto liability exposures, whereas it would not sit over an uninsured liability exposure. There's only a few umbrellas out there that will do that, and that's what you need. You want to make sure that your personal liability is protected should you be brought into a suit from a possible board that you would sit on.
Yeah, and I guess, like in our case, for example, a lot of the people who sit on our board also sit on a board in their state.
That's correct.
So that would be sort of, I don't know if double jeopardy is not the right word, but it would be two different instances.
Yes, it would be double jeopardy, if you will. Not only that, but you may have a person that sits on your board that may sit on an entirely different board in their local state. They may sit on, you name it, any type of another board. And they may have five or six boards that they sit on. It's not necessarily a conflict of interest, but it is more of a liability exposure on their behalf.
Right. I know one of the things that I was thinking about was, and I don't think this comes up maybe too often, but let's say somebody sits on their licensing board in their state.
Yeah.
But they also, and oftentimes when that happens, they'll curtail their activity on association boards, whether it's state or national. But for the sake of argument, let's say somebody did sit on that licensing board. Since that is kind of government in a way, usually those boards are not independent. They're some regulatory board.
Uh-huh.
Are they handled differently is that a whole different scenario? I assume it is, since it's kind of government initiated.
Well, the initial layer could certainly, like as an example, a board for, let's just say, county surveyors, as an example, they would have their own D&O policy. They would have their own D&O policy, even though it's a group of county surveyors, because the D&O it would work the same way that any other private or non-profit organization would work. That's going to provide the first layer. So the first layer is going to be covered there, but then if that is exhausted, then you would go into the personal liability for that individual. And,
right.
And oftentimes your personal umbrella will be at a much lower deductible than maybe a D&O policy would be as well. But it would apply. There are some situations to where you're not as likely. You would have more of a cushion or a buffer layer, depending on the type of board that you sit on, as you just mentioned, the government. So you would have a larger a buffer, but at the end of the day, you could still be brought into it personally as well.
So at your personal level, then, when you're on a board, any board, and I know we're getting close to the second break, but these questions keep coming up. This is a really interesting conversation. If you're on a board within your own personal insurance, when you're getting that umbrella, that's not tied to anything in particular? It's just an umbrella coverage that's kind of overarching. Is that what we're talking about?
Exactly right. That is exactly right. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yep. It's a personal umbrella that truly, the personal umbrella is one of the best things you can buy. I mean, if there's an insurance policy out there, if you have the right umbrella, it's going to set over your own liability should you cause a problem, you know, auto or, you know, a child playing on a playground or an auto accident, a boating accident, etc. But in addition to that, if you have an uninsured liability exposure, it will set above that. So it just provides you an overlay of total protection if you have the right umbrella policy in place.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
That makes sense. Well, when we come back, couple more questions on this I'd like to ask, and then there's some other things I know we want to cover too for our second and third sessions. But as I said, this one is I hadn't anticipated that we might be covering or taking the time we have with this, but it's so important. I think people do need to know about it, and it just raises a lot of interesting questions. So when we come back, we'll talk about that.
Great.
And here's something new from Schonstedt. Did you know that Schonstedt has upped the ante on trade-ins? Now you can trade in any instrument, theirs or a competitor's, in any condition, working or not, and receive more in trade than ever before. Plus, they'll pay the freight both ways. Contact your local dealer for details or go to Schonstedt.com. That's Schonstedt.com.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Ray Bowman, hoping you'll join us each Friday at noon for our new show, Food and Farm, brought to you by FeedstuffsFoodLink.com, only on America's Web Radio.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about quick stakes, go to www.quickstake.com or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
Getting into underground utility location? If so, you'll want to know about the Schonstedt Instrument Company's MPC kit, a multi-purpose combo for locating both ferrous objects and underground pipes and cables. And because it consists of two instruments in one package, it qualifies for trade-in allowances on two locators. Any kind, any make, any condition. Contact your dealer for details. Or visit www.schonstedt.com. That's Schonstedt.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
We're at the portion of the show, Lisa, where we always ask our Parker Davis Quick Stakes Contest question of the week, and the person who emails back to quickstakescontest@americaswebradio.com will be our winner. So I'm going to try to phrase this question correctly. How does one, what do you call it, or how does one deal with an issue where there's an uninsured liability, whether somebody without insurance hits you, or if there's some other uninsured liability, what do we need to do there?
Well, the correct answer would be get a personal umbrella covers uninsured liability. So personal umbrella for uninsured liability.
That's the answer we're looking for. So thanks for that. We'll see how well people are listening today, I guess. But a couple of things that came to mind as we were having that conversation that I wanted to talk about, and I guess we, in the question itself, we sort of brought this up, but let's say as a board member on some entity, whatever that is, whether it's, I guess that could be Chamber of Commerce, or it could be the Local Planning Commission, or it could be your Surveyor Society, it could be any number of things, I suppose. But what, in that situation, let's think about the association thing for a second, since our state societies and our national kind of operate into that arena. I don't know if you've seen these before, but what would be the kind of thing that would trigger a suit where that would be important to have the coverage?
Well, you know, in today's society, you could have anything from, say, for example, collecting membership dues or selling items over the internet, and you're using credit cards. So anything from a identity theft, cyber liability theft perspective. So that would be a common thing in today's world because so many things are done over the internet. So when that is done by the society itself or by the nonprofit itself, you get into a tremendous amount of expense in one suit, and that follows form for 3 years if you have a data breach, as an example. So a data breach is a huge one that is pops up quite frequently for any type of nonprofit or association. Now that in itself, it would be brought back to the association or to that nonprofit, and then anyone sitting on the board of the nonprofit is typically named in that suit. So in that situation, you could obviously tell when you have a data breach of someone's credit and then the monitoring that is required to by law for a period of 3 years after the fact, you can blow through $1 million pretty quickly, unfortunately, if a person really didn't have a financial hit. If a person has a financial devastation caused from it, then it's naturally the damages is going to add up very quickly. That's one. Two is just say, for example, the board meets and they decide to enforce a certain procedure, and that is taken out of context from some of the members, and they come back and say you inappropriately damaged our society or damaged our profession because of this act or this act or this act. That in itself is more of a decision based on the board, and the board as a whole would make would have a claim filed against them. Worst case scenarios would be situations that would be a financial breach. So maybe you collected dues and the membership feels as if the dues and the usage of the dues was used inappropriately. If that is the case, it would come back and the suit would be filed against the nonprofit, and therefore the nonprofit is the board of directors, and then they would be sued as well, or
named in the suit. And so, yeah, I think, and this.
in a personal situation, it's the individual. So keep in mind, if the business is acting on the on behalf of the business and in the name of the business, it would fall to the commercial umbrella. If it's the individual of the business and it's an individual sitting on a board, then it would fall to the personal umbrella. Okay, does that make sense?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, the umbrellas, the umbrella's action, whether it's commercial or personal, provides that extra cushion or layer of coverage over and above any beneath liability exposure. So at the end of the day, it is confusing, because when a person says, hey, I've got an umbrella, then they feel like they have an umbrella that's going to cover them for everything that they need. And in fact, some people have even said to me, you know, since I have an umbrella, if I don't have coverage for my general liability, then my umbrella is going to cover that, right? And I'm like, no, it will not. At one of the meetings, this last meeting that I was at, there was a comment that was said, okay, I didn't have umbrella, I didn't have flood insurance, but since I didn't have flood insurance, my umbrella is going to cover what that didn't cover, correct? And I'm like, no, it's not. So it's going to set over whatever's underneath it. So if it's not covered underneath it, it's not going to cover on the umbrella.
So if you don't have anything to start with, it's not going to miraculously take care of it, basically.
Right. That's exactly right. And that is one thing that is new in today's world. Years ago, they seemed to be broader than they are in today's world, if you will. But at the end of the day, what I would tell you, Kurt, I mean, I know this is a lot of stuff that people can, you know, to take in one sitting.
Yeah.
But truthfully, it is an exposure that from everything from, you know, your own perspective to our individual members, that if they have a gray area or they, you know, if this is, you know, piqued their interest, the best thing to do is call and ask us, you know, the specific question. Don't wait until after, you know, you have had a claim and find out you don't have the coverage that you might need. And again, the umbrella is very inexpensive for the exposure that it's picking up. So I would tell you, you know, try it out. Try it out and see. If you can't get the answer you're looking for at your own individual agent or broker, again, you know, feel free to call. I will ask you to, you know, to fax to me your personal umbrella policy form, and then I'll be more than happy to review it and tell you yes, it does, or no, it doesn't. You know, that's the only way you're going to really know.
Yeah, I guess another question to ask is, in this what appears to be an extremely litigious world, are we seeing instances of where this comes into play more than in the past, or is this just sort of something that happens anyway?
No, actually, more and more people are creating more boards that they're setting on. So there's more nonprofits being formed, so therefore there's more people setting on boards. So the claims frequency has gone up. I think the last I've seen, it's like 23-27% over 2 years ago. So it is going up. The last that I've seen for between 2013 and 14, it went up to 32% increases. So naturally, the more exposure that's out there, the more likelihood that you're going to be sued. You can go. It's kind of the rule of numbers. You know, the more that boards that are being formed to set on, the, you know, the more likelihood you're going to upset somebody. It's as simple as that. You know, you can't get, you know, 10 people in the same room and come up with, about 10 different answers. So people, you know, get upset and then they become offended and then you go from there to there to there. It's unfortunate, but it is a real life situation. And then as we know, boards start to reorganize. You have ones that may have been longstanding, and then they have a reorganization, and claims seem to appear when you have a reorganization. Some people may not appreciate the reorganization, and so then you have disgruntled people that come back from that. And this is across the board, not just in our own world, but I mean, it's across, teachers, nonprofits to professional nonprofits. So it is across the board, or even to your own board. You know, that's the other thing is, we're talking about nonprofits and we're talking about, professional organizations, but quite frankly, this could be in your own company. So you may have a large company that has 5 or 6 or 7 board members that sit on it, and you can have the exact same situation that occurs in your own private business. Now, in that situation, it's a business situation, and it's a DNO for that business. So,
right.
The same thing applies there. So you may have one partner disgruntled at the other partner, and at the end of the day, you get the whole board brought into a suit under the DNO policy for your own private surveying or engineering company.
Yeah. Well, believe it or not, here we are at our last break, so we'll come back in a couple of moments for our last segment today.
Okay, great.
Quick stakes are not just an affordable alternative to heavy wooden stakes, but they save the surveyor time, which means money, by being easy to carry, easy to ride on, and even easier to see. For more information about quick stakes, go to www.quickstake.com, or for a sample, give us a call at 800-438-0387.
Getting into underground utility location? If so, you'll want to know about the Schonstadt Instrument Company's MPC kit, a multi-purpose combo for locating both ferrous objects and underground pipes and cables. And because it consists of 2 instruments in one package, it qualifies for trade-in allowances on 2 locators. Any kind, any make, any condition. Contact your dealer for details. Or visit www.schonstadt.com. That's schonstedt.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
And here's something new from Schonstedt. Did you know that Schonstedt has upped the ante on trade-ins? Now you can trade in any instrument, theirs or a competitor's, in any condition, working or not, and receive more in trade than ever before. Plus, they'll pay the freight both ways. Contact your local dealer for details or go to schonstedt.com. That's S-C-H-O-N-S-T-E-D-T.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com. The pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
So we're back at our last segment. At least the people get tired of us hearing us talk about how quickly shows go. But I think this one's gone faster than any I can remember, just because it's been such a riveting topic to talk about, and one that has so many tentacles to it that you're just kind of going along, living your life, running your business, participating on your boards, doing whatever you're doing, and perhaps not even focusing on these things. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to cover this as well as we could today, because it's really good information for people to know, and hopefully not terribly scary, but certainly cautionary.
Well, that's the whole purpose, Kurt, is, these are conversations that may or may not ever get brought up until you have a situation that you need to have coverage and you find that you don't have the coverage. And you're right, it is a coverage that is certainly a life of its own. It's similar, you know, kind of similar to your professional liability in a land surveyor's world. But it is certainly a life of its own. And so it can be anything that is brought up from a director's and officer's perspective, and or, as I was mentioning to you at break, even if you own your own company and you set, you own it and you're the only officer on the board. In my own situation, I was using that as an example that I do have a D&O policy, but I have it because there is there's a part of the D&O policy that should I make a wrong business decision and it damages my employees, those employees can certainly come back and possibly sue me for making a incorrect or life-changing business decision. It's an inappropriate business decision, or misappropriating funds, or something to that effect, or damaging them from their own personal professional reputation as far as them personally because of maybe an action that I did. So the D&O can certainly be picked up from a whole lot of different perspectives. And one thing that I would mention is there are, where you have the personal umbrella, if you're a large enough company or maybe a large enough association, there's a group umbrella that can be acquired, that can be purchased on behalf of members or purchased on behalf of your employees, that extends over and above a D&O policy or a liability policy. That is, yet another umbrella. So, but it serves the same function. It serves the same point. And that's, the one thing that everyone really needs to hear today is if you do have the exposure from a board perspective, because it's obvious that we have a lot of concerns about that, just ask the question, pose the question, and that umbrella will give you that extra, one person referred to me, it gives them a sense of peace to where they can sleep at night. That's really what it is. It's that extra layer of protection for you, both from a business perspective, personal perspective, and or your personal board perspective. One item I would tell you that why it's fresh in my mind is, as an example, you may sit on a board for a national board, and then you sit on it for your own state, and then you sit on the national board as well. One of the things that you can keep in mind is if you're not representing your state appropriately to that board, the national board, then that can be a suit that's brought into play as well, because you're holding a position, but you're not there to fulfill that position. That is clearly a situation that could be brought into play under a D&O policy. And I think any of us that have sat on boards, we know that occurs quite frequently. And, I was commenting the other day, I sat on a particular board, and there's 12 of us, and there's two people, actually, that I don't know that I've ever seen at one of our board meetings. And so,
a little scary.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, you know, that is a situation to where they're not representing their position. That is a, that is a situation that could be brought into a suit. We would have to defend it accordingly. So that is pretty much everything I know about a DNO policy.
One thing I'm thinking about while we're on that topic is there something in existence that we could provide or to folks in our realm that's sort of a little checklist of, you know, these are things you need to know about, or check with this person on this particular thing, you know, like if it's a personal thing, you go to your agent, you know, what are the right things to do? Is there something out there like that, or is there something we could,
you know, I do together? Have a, you know, a checklist that I personally use when I'm chatting with a business, and when I'm mm-hmm. chatting with a person from a personal perspective. I can certainly make that available to you, and you could probably even post it on the website.
Yeah, I think that'd be a really big help to people, because we've brought up a lot of issues here today, and quite honestly, even in the discussion for me, it's mind-boggling with all the tentacles that are out there that you think in your mind you've got all this covered, and then as you have the conversation, you start saying, well, do I really have that covered? I think that would be helpful for anybody in the audience, particularly, obviously, as you participate on boards. Of course, those personal umbrellas can cover activities that are not necessarily board activities as well.
Absolutely. If it's got the uninsured, underinsured liability on your umbrella, anything that's uninsured or underinsured is covered. It's just as simple as that. Yes, I will forward to you the business perspective checklist and the personal checklist. And then naturally, I don't know how close we are to the end of the show, but under that, it will also show, you know, a checklist to say, okay, here's, you know, your general liability, and I'll ask about cyber liability, and, you know, it'll go right down all of the coverages that a said business should be looking for, or at least posing the question to your agent, and, you know, right down to health and life. So you may have, you know, life insurance. You may have term life that is provided to your employees. You may have individual health, or you may have small group health that is needed, but it'll provide you as a business a checklist to say, yes, I want this, or I want to find out more about this, or I already have it, and you put it down. And then one thing to keep in mind is, in today's world, with respects to the changes of healthcare and trying to figure out whether we do the group or individual health or whatever, keep in mind, under the NSPS program, we do have access points. We have a couple of dedicated employee benefit producers that can ensure your health, life, group life, buy-sell agreements, key man insurance, et cetera. So that is certainly available within your membership. To give a call here, and we can direct you to the experts in the benefits arena as well.
Yeah, that's a good idea, and that'd be a good topic for us to maybe focus more thoroughly when we get together for the next show.
Okay.
I think, because that's another important element of it. And then I was thinking, with this access to the checklist and all that, maybe it would be good we could write up, maybe not such a long article, but some article with some links that we could put on News and Views.
Absolutely.
We could reach out to more people.
In fact, since we have spent so much of this show on the DNO, I will send over to you and to Tricia a link of just a one-page informational piece on DNO.
Okay.
And then people can actually take that and go back to their agent or to us and say, tell me more about this.
Right. Yeah, that'll be really good.
Yeah, you can read it on your own time as well.
Yeah, well, we've got about 2 minutes left, so I'm not sure if there's anything else we have we want to cram into our 2 minutes. I know we got a lot of things we want to talk about, and we'll pick up on those next time. But as I said, once we got into this, I just felt like it was really important because it's so broad. You know, we began talking about it as a member of a board, but it really goes way well beyond that.
It really does, and you know these were questions that was brought up by actual members, and again it's so helpful when people send me a note or ask questions, because when one person has the question, hundreds others do too, and they just haven't come forward to ask the question. And so from our perspective, the number one objective is just to get the information out there, to pose the question that you may not have known before, and to make sure that our members are taken care of before the claim occurs. So,
yeah, that's very true. Well, we're within the minute of being done today, so as always, I want to thank you for being with me. It's always so informative when you're on the show, because we cover such so much of the topics, and I'm not sure anybody would have ever thought as we started into this that we could have as many shows as we do about insurance coverages and those kind of things that stays fresh and new, but it just goes to show you how complicated an issue it really is.
Yes, and we haven't gotten through all of our coverages yet.
No, so. we still have a lot to go, so we're going to be around, but I know people appreciate it because I get comments about it all the time, that people will appreciate us having these conversations, so. With that, in our last 10 seconds or so, thanks so much for being with me again, and I'll look forward to when we're able to do it again.
Well, thank you very much, and any questions, call us here at 888-454-9562, and we'll be here to serve you.
Sounds great. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.